Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Dr. Lyra Greaves this morning. Kia ora, Lyra. How are you today?
Right, Anna. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. We've got lots to talk about. It's been busy down at the Beehive.
Yeah, tell me about it.
let's start with Brian Tamaki and the protest we saw down there and the formation or the announcement of a new political party. What do you make of this? What's this sort of mean? Does it mean anything for the election? What can we sort of predict?
Well, the first thing up front that I would say that historically, and kind of looking back to the 90s where we first got MMP, it's been really, really hard to get to the 5% party vote threshold. That was about 146,000 party votes as per last election.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of people that you need to get behind you in order to get to that threshold, or win an electorate seat, which I would say is even harder to get that group geographically clustered in that way. So firstly, any minor party has a huge battle against it. We even see established parties like the Greens sometimes blipping below that 5% in the party vote. So it's firstly incredibly hard to get to that threshold. Just a quick kind of plug for, I'm on the electoral law reform panel and we're seeking public submission soon on this and on the threshold. But generally, it's just really difficult. So that's what I would say is the first thing that we really need to kind of think about when we're talking about this and talking about this in the media, is that would be quite a large political movement in order to gain mainstream political representation.
So we aren't necessarily going to see Brian Tamaki in Parliament, but what does it mean? Because we have seen so much raruraru over the last 2 years, and this is, you know, the second time in 6 months we've seen a big protest that's very angry at the government outside the Beehive. What can you take away from the second one? Does it feel like much of the same from what we've seen already? Is there anything different that you've sort of noticed about this?
So what I really liked recently was Thomas Coughlin split this sort of misinformation, disinformation crisis into two problems, right? The first problem being the one that we've talked about say they get to 5% and they get democratic representation. Unlikely, we haven't seen sort of any blips in the polls or anything along those lines. The other one is that ability for a group to get really angry and for some of them to go extremist and to resort to violence. And we saw hints of that in the previous protest. This one was a lot more reserved, and I think that it's that balance for whenever you are, you know, across the political spectrum, whenever you are any kind of activist, it's like that balance between like not annoying the general public too much and seeming fairly reasonable in the presentation of your values. And I think that they're getting better at doing that, destroying businesses, destroying livelihoods and causing inconvenience of things like traffic.
Yeah.
Instantly put people off your message. So I think that they've done a better job in mainstreaming themselves. And I think that the other kind of thing that's come up is various movements trying to get candidates to run for local government. That's another place where they would be more successful in mainstreaming themselves. And I think that that's their key task if they're ever to get any political power.
Well, let's keep it at the Beehive and talk about some of the changes we've seen inside Parliament, particularly new Speaker of the House, the end of Trevor Mallard's time there, and Adrian Rurafe is the new Speaker of the House. What do we know about him?
Well, I'm really excited for this. He's our second ever Māori Speaker after Sir Peter Tapsell in the 90s, but he's come from a sort of different background. So he's come from being the chair of his iwi, Ngā Piapa, for I think it was 11 years, and he's actually talked about how a lot of his meeting chairing experience came from chairing meetings in hapu iwi marae kind of organisations. So that's a really interesting experience to have in those contexts. The way that a meeting runs is a bit different to how they might run in, say, like as a chair of a board of some kind of other governance role. So it's a different experience to come at it with. The other kind of thing that we don't really think about in terms of the Speaker is they've got this really important constitutional role where they can modify the standing orders, they can modify the way that things are done over time and modify those norms. And we saw Trevor Mallard say make Parliament child and dog friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Adrian Rudafe, what I'm really looking for is over the rest of this term and potentially next term as well, as him as Speaker, to see where he might actually bring in elements of tikanga Māori, because that was something that Te Pāti Māori has actually raised all along, but initially raised under Tariam Turia almost 20 years ago, that we can modify Parliament to take into account Māori values more.
Now, is he's Labour, is that where his political background is as well?
Yes, so he's been a Māori role member for Te Tai Hauāuru for a couple of terms now, and he is from the Labour Party. He's got Ratana Whakapapa, so the first Wahine Māori in Parliament, Iriaka Ratana, is his grandmother.
Oh, true.
And so he's come from quite the Labour Party whānau, and he's kind of been quite already... So the Speaker has to resign from the Labour caucus.
Yep.
So you know we've had two people missing from the Labour caucus this week. But so he's now out of the Labour caucus, and now he's taking that more neutral standpoint. Where he's interesting as a Speaker is he's maybe had less parliamentary experience than most Speakers. So it's almost like maybe we don't view him as so much of a Labour Party person
yep.
as, say, Trevor Mallard was, who was a minister for some time.
Well, let's talk briefly about the supermarkets before we let you go, because that's been an interesting and ongoing problem, this duopoly system. Mm. The government's now stepping in, and they're stepping in to the role of the wholesaler. They're sort of giving these two big supermarket chains 1 year to kind of start these wholesale licences. What does this mean, actually, and how is it going to potentially affect someone, you know, who is just heading into the shops to buy their dinner?
So their stated goal is that you would be able to go to the local dairy or kind of local kind of grocer in between kind of store and just go and buy some shopping and that not cost you so much as it does now.
Yeah.
The idea is that you want to put more competition in supermarket into that area. And one way that they did that before was changing some of the covenants on land, but that has a long-term effect, whereas this one's kind of shorter term. And so basically gradually over time, the idea is that the wholesalers will open up the markets a bit more. But that involves putting pressure on those two big providers. So it's that balance that Labor always has to cut, the fine balance between going full out, making there be like a Kiwi supermarket, like there's a Kiwi bank, versus like expecting entities that are on that basis of capitalism and self-interest, expecting them to regulate and all of those market forces. So it's that tricky balance for Labor where they are a left-wing party, they're a left-wing government, but they're also really, they have to keep the forces of sort of neoliberalism and capitalism and market competition and all of that in mind. So we'll see. Hopefully this will bring down our grocery prices. From like a political science, voter behaviour standpoint, it's not clear whether that will have enough of effect for the 2023 election.
For sure. Well, let's come back to that one maybe in a few weeks' time. Thanks very much for your time this morning, Dr. Lara Greaves. Have a lovely rest of your Thursday.
Kia ora, you too.
See ya.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with